Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, before I start, I just want to apologize for the unconventional posture. This knee is swollen to twice its normal size, so I can't sit with my normal cross-legged way. Okay, so we're reading from the 9th canto, chapter 14, King Pururava, enchanted by Urvashi. This, today's text is 48. Eka, Eva, Pura, Vedaha, Pranavaha, Sarva Vanmayaha Devo Narayano Nanya Eka Agnir Varna Eva Cha Eka Eva Pura Veda Pranavak Sarva Vanmayaha Devo Narayano Nanya Ekognir Varna Evacha Eka Eva Pura Veda Pranavak Sarva Vanmayaha Devo Narayano Nanya Ekognir Varna Evacha Eka Eva Pura Veda Pranavak Sarvavan Mayaha Devo Narayano Nanya Ekognir Varna Evacha. Please chant. Eka Eva Pura Veda Ranavak Sarva Vanmaya Maharaj, would you like to chant? Eka Eva Pura Veda Panavak Sarva Vanmayaha Devo Narayano Nanya Ekognir Varna Evacha Eka Eva Pura Veda Pranavak Sarva Vanmayaha Devo Narayano Nanya Ekognir Varna Evacha Vaishnavis Eka Eva Pura Veda Pranavak Sarva Vanmayaha Devo Narayano Nanya Ekognir Varna Evacha Eka Eva Pura Veda Pranavak Sarva Vanmayaha Devo Narayano Nanya Ekognir Varna Evacha Eka Eva Pura Veda Pranavak Sarva Vanmayaha Devo Narayana Ekognir Varna Evacha. Okay. Ekaha. Only one. Eva. Indeed. Pura. Formerly. Vedaha. Book of transcendental knowledge. Pranavaha. Omkara. Sarvavak Mayaha. Consisting of all Vedic mantras. Devaha. The Lord God. Narayanaha. Only Narayana was worshipable in the Satya Yuga. Na Anyaha. No other. Eka Agnihi. One division only for Agni. Varnaha. Order of life. Evacha. And certainly. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. In the Satya Yuga, the first millennium, all the Vedic mantras were included in one mantra, Pranava, the root of all Vedic mantras. In other words, the Atharva Veda alone was the source of all Vedic knowledge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, was the only worshipable deity. There was no recommendation for worship of the demigods. Fire was one only, and the only order of life in human society was known as Hamsa. So let us do this responsibly. In the Satya Yuga, the first millennium, all the Vedic mantras were included in one mantra. Pranava, the root of all Vedic mantras. In other words, the Atharva Veda alone was the source of all Vedic knowledge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, was the only worshipable deity. There was no recommendation for worship of the demigods. Fire was one only, and the only order of life in human society was known as Hamsa. It's kind of important to pronounce the Lord's name properly. It's not Narayana. It's Narayana. Two long A's. Narayana. Just like we make sure we say Krishna, not Christian or something like that. Some people have some weird pronunciation, but we always make sure we emphasize Krishna. So same thing with Narayana, not Narayana. Yeah, not Narayana. It's Narayana. Two long A's. Okay. In Satya Yuga, there was only one Veda, not four. Later, before the beginning of Kali Yuga, this one Veda, the Atharva Veda, or some say the Yajur Veda, was divided into four, Sama, Yajur, Rig, and Atharva, for the facility of human society. In Satya Yuga, the only mantra was Omkara, Om Tat Sat. The same name, Omkara, is manifest in the mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Unless one is a Brahmana, one cannot utter Omkara and get the desired result. But in Kali Yuga, almost everyone is a Shudra, unfit for pronouncing the Pranava, Omkara. Therefore, the Shastras have recommended the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Omkara is a mantra or Maha Mantra, and Hare Krishna is also a Maha Mantra. The purpose of pronouncing Omkara is to address the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And the purpose of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is the same. Hare, O energy of the Lord, Krishna, O Lord Krishna. Hare, O energy of the Lord, Rama, O Supreme Lord, O Supreme Enjoyer. The only worshipable Lord is Hari, who is the goal of the Vedas. Vedaisya Sarvarahang Eva Vedya. By worshipping the demigods, one worships the different parts of the Lord, just as one might water the branches and twigs of a tree. But worshipping Narayana, the all-inclusive Supreme Personality of Godhead, is like pouring water on the root of the tree, thus supplying water to the trunk, branches, twigs, leaves, and so on. In Satya Yuga, people knew how to fulfill the necessities of life simply by worshipping Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The same purpose can be served in this age of Kali by chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, as recommended in the Bhagavatam, Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Paramrajat. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one becomes free from the bondage of material existence and thus becomes eligible to return home back to Godhead. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschata Deshtarani Om Agyana Timurandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unvilitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandehang Sri Guru Sri Tapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vatangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kopatarubya Shah Kripasan Numi Evacha Patitanang Pavanepyo Vaisavepyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this evening is what? Hollywood Harinam, right? Everybody knows, everybody's coming out. It's amazing. Material existence means illusion layered up on top of illusion on top of illusion, illusion. I think if you surveyed most of the people who come out tonight on Santa Monica Boulevard and asked them, do you believe in ghosts? Do you believe in goblins? Do you believe? Most of them would say no. But yet they're out there dressed up like ghosts and goblins. It's a really weird society we live in. So we know, not from our own speculation, but from the pages of the Bhagavatam, that these creatures exist. As a matter of fact, there's a hierarchy that's given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Above the animals are the human beings. Above the human beings are ghosts. And above them are the Gandharvas, the Kinaras, going up and up and up till you get to Lord Brahma. But as we've stated many, many times, no matter how you trace out your genealogy, you come to Brahma. If you trace out your material genealogy, your father, his father, like that, you come to Lord Brahma, the original creature in the universe. And if you trace out your line spiritually, your spiritual master, his spiritual master, his spiritual master, you come back to Lord Brahma. So any way you trace it out, we're all related. So why can't we get along? Why can't we get along? This is illusion. Because in illusion, somebody's thinking, I'm a black male, I'm a white female, I'm an Asian, undecided, whatever. And because of that, I have to take up the cause of Asian undecideds or black males or white females. It's all illusion. We have nothing to do with this material body. Whether we're in a human body or a ghostly body, or a Gandharva body like Urvashi. It doesn't matter what body we're in. We're not this body. We have nothing to do with this body. Every one of us here, I think all of us, I can say safely, had some sleep last night. Maybe a little, maybe a lot, whatever. But during that sleep period, you had nothing to do with that body. That body was lying there. You had nothing to do with it. But as soon as we wake up, we go in the mirror. Oh my God. I'm this body and I have to make sure the hair is nice and the lips are... Nothing to do with his body. All night you're sleeping, you're off somewhere, dreaming, doing something. Last night I had a very intense dream with devotees and some will or something. It was very intense. I could see and remember all the devotees. But when I wake up, no devotees there. It's just me lying in the bed. All of you, the same thing. The body's there all night, lying. All the problems that the body was having during the daytime, you've completely forgotten about it. You're off doing something, but as soon as the alarm goes off or somebody says, hey, get up, go to Mangal Arati, then you come back to this particular body and you're thinking, I'm Storm, I have to. All right? I hope you're not thinking like that. But this is the general tendency. As soon as we wake up, we again assume this false identity. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is saying, Jeev Jago, don't just wake up to the consciousness of this body, but wake up to spiritual consciousness. Please, wake up to spiritual consciousness, which means nothing to do with his body, which means we're all equal, all related on the spiritual platform. There's no question of higher, lower, whatever. All of these are material designations. Yes, as long as we have the material body, we have to honor those designations, mother, father. One must honor one's mother and father, etc. But actually, they're not mother, father. They're just two other spirit souls that happen to be in bodies that were used to generate this body. That's all. But... So the presentation of the Bhagavatam again is Wake up. Wake up to the spiritual reality before you have to give up this particular body. Wake up. So that we can rise above all of these bodily complications and considerations that have nothing to do with us. Nothing to do with us. We're not black males or white females or Asian undecided. We have nothing to do with these bodies. So tonight, when we go out, we should go out in that mood. Now we know that ghosts and goblins exist. You people may not believe it, but we know they exist. But it's just another material designation. Ghost or hobgoblin or Brahma or ant. These are all just material designations. So this is the main message we are out here to give you. This chanting of Hare Krishna, if you take it up seriously, my dear ghost, hobgoblin, witch, whatever you are, you will come to the realization that you have nothing to do with this witch body or ghost body or whatever body you're in. You have nothing to do with that. And you will therefore become joyful. You'll become happy. You'll become peaceful. This is the only way to become joyful, happy, peaceful. The joy that they'll be exhibiting tonight, we know, we all know, it's just for a few minutes. They're running up and down, hugging each other, and oh, what a beautiful costume, and this and that, and everybody seems to be so happy. But check in a few hours later. It's like, you know, back down to earth, and that's normal problems of material life that are not going away, because there are no material solutions to material problems. Mukunda Maharaj, we know, is in a hospital. By the way, the update is that he went through 2 operations successfully so far, still weak, but he's still with us, and I love him dearly. We lived together for several years in the Potomac Temple. He and I were producing the Hare Krishna Today monthly videos that some of you may remember. It's been so long now, maybe you don't remember. But wonderful human being, beautiful devotee, this Mukunda Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada noted, if you read the conversations, once when Prabhupada was leaving from here and on the West Coast, he was going to India, and he said, take care of Mukunda, he's very gentle. Wonderful devotee, beautiful person. Not putting on any fake external attitude, but in internally something different. Just inside and out, beautiful person. And yes, very, very gentle person. And because of that, and he loves to be directly connected with people. He's not a faker, you know. When he's connected with you, and that's why he has not taken many disciples, he told me. He said, I applaud my God brothers who have taken thousands and thousands of disciples, but I can't do that. He said, when I take a disciple, there has to be connection. I have to feel that connection to the person, and we have to interact in that way. So he has not accepted. I think maybe still only has maybe 25, 30 disciples at most, as far as I know. Well, like I said, so with these kinds of examples, this is how we should live our lives. The spiritual process that we're following, bhakti yoga, is not meant just for an external show. It's meant for, first of all, inside. How is it changing me? And if I'm actually changed, then I can change others just by practicing bhakti yoga properly. You don't have to make any really external endeavor. Prabhupada didn't make any external endeavor. He was being himself. He was A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada, pure devotee of the Lord. So wherever he went, he affected people without making any extra endeavor. He didn't have to make an extra endeavor to make an impression on people. He just naturally made an impression by being a pure soul. So this is what he wanted from all of us. Use this process for what it's meant for purification. Come back to the platform of pure existence, pure spiritual existence. And then you will automatically affect others. You don't have to make a separate endeavor, a separate show to affect other people positively. Just become purified. And naturally, we will. So how to become purified? By coming in contact with the Supreme Pure, Krishna. And the recommended method for coming in contact with Krishna and staying in contact with Krishna for this age is Harirnama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gataranyata. Just chant this Hare Krishna mantra. So that's the main thing we're going to be doing tonight, chanting Hare Krishna. There will be some prasadam distribution. I saw what's his name now? Gopal Ananda, squirreling away the cookies because he knows how devotees are. They'll eat them before we go out, so he was stashing them away. But so there'll be some prasadam distribution, there'll be some book distribution, but the main emphasis tonight is chanting Hare Krishna. So we approach all of the little ghosts, hobgoblins, witches, and ask them, please chant with us. And they are very happy to do so. In my experience anyway, I've been going there for several years. They're happy to jump up and down with us, run around, chant Hare Krishna. So that's what we want to get them to do. Because once hearing this Hare Krishna mantra, according to the scriptures, once hearing, once chanting, The process has begun. There's no turning back. Agyanat atava gyanat uttama shloka namayat sankirtatim agang pungso dahet edo yatanala. Just as a fire can consume any amount of fuel that you put into it. This is Yamaraj speaking to the Yamadutas in the sixth canto. Once chanting Hare Krishna will burn up more sins than you can commit. More sinful reactions than you can ever commit. That's how powerful this mantra is. Because it's Krishna. It's not different from the Lord Himself. So this is our duty tonight, is to try our best, even if we have to dress up also like witches or whatever. Witch with tilak or hobgoblin with tilak, whatever. Just attract them to chanting Hare Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna. At the conclusion of the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, which if you haven't read in a while, I suggest reading it. It is so power-packed potent. That's why we made it into a little book, just the introduction to the Gita. Prabhupada put it's more like a synopsis, an overview of the entire Gita. It's not just an introduction. It's so full of spiritual potency, that introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, that it's just mind-blowing. I try to go through it periodically when I haven't in a while, and Prabhupada has put so much knowledge in there, so much emphasis on worship of Krishna. What are the five subject matters of the Bhagavad Gita? But then he concludes the introduction with a quote from the Gita Mahatmya, verse number 7, which states that there should be only one scripture. Ekam Devaki Putra Shastra Gitam. The only one scripture, Bhagavad Gita. Because Prabhupada says, in his comments there, he said that in the present day, people want one God, one scripture, one religion, one occupation, Prabhupada says. So here, he quotes this verse from the Gita Mahatmya to suggest, what is that one scripture? The one scripture? Ekam Deva Kiputram. Deva Kiputra means Krishna. Ekam Deva Kiputra Shastra Gitam. Only one Shastra, one scripture should be there, Bhagavad Gita. And Ekam Devo Deva Kiputra. Only one Deva or one God should be worshipped, and that's Krishna. There may be other names, we know. Like some people insist, only Allah. Allah means the great, but God is more than just great. He's beautiful, He's merciful, He's generous, He's compassionate. God is more than just great. So, yes, there may be other names that people bring forth for God, but we know that this name, Krishna, is extremely special. Because it's indicating the all-attractive feature of Krishna. Krishna attracts everyone. So somebody may say, well, I'm not attracted to Krishna. Yes, but you're attracted to Krishna's energy. Because you're an illusion. You're thinking that this person who is basically no different from you, any material person that you meet, anybody who's in a conditioned soul in a material body, is basically the same as you. Same skin, bone, blood, pus, hair. But still we're attracted. Oh, so-and-so is so beautiful. Oh, so-and-so. It's the same stuff. But Krishna is not like that. Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha. So whatever you're attracted to in this material world is just a fragmental spark of Krishna's attractive potency. So why not go to the source? Why not go to the root? Like here it's mentioned in today's purport about Narayan. Narayan is the root. So if you put the water, the worship, at the root, then everyone and everything is nourished. Just like watering the root of a tree. When Gaudachandra and his wife were up in Carpinteria taking care of Giriraj Maharaj for a week, they entrusted me with their huge tulsi plant. It's more like a tree to take care of. And so you don't go to tulsi. Yes, you spray, but you don't expect her to get water that way. You have to pour the water at the root. And then when she absorbs that water, then all the limbs and the branches, leaves are taken care of. So similarly, in our existence, we are meant to worship the source of all existence, which is Krishna. Makes sense? Makes sense. Any reasonable person could accommodate that. Doesn't take, PhD to understand that concept. There is a root, supreme source of everything, from which everything material and spiritual is coming. And if we give our worship, our attention, everything, our love to that root, that source, then everything else is nourished. So that's Krishna. And then, one mantra only, this Hare Krishna mantra, just like Prabhupada says at the end of the purport here, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, One becomes free from the bondage of material existence and thus becomes eligible to return home, back to God. And notice, return home, because there's still some personalities claiming to be part of our society. And they say, no, we never fell from the spiritual world. We've always been here in the material world, and now we're getting a chance to go to the spiritual world. But Prabhupada repeats over and over again, eligible to return home. You came from home, and now you can go back to home. Back to Godhead. This is the name of this magazine. Back to Godhead. So people can have whatever conclusions they want, but Srila Prabhupada has made it clear. And we're supposed to be Prabhupada Anugas, following Srila Prabhupada. Return home. Back to Godhead. We were in the spiritual world. We're always existing. Obviously, we're eternal. There's no meaning to this process if we don't accept that, that we're all always existing. And Krishna emphasizes that in the Bhagavad Gita. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future will any of us cease to be. So we have to accept that, at least theoretically. We are eternal beings. So, somebody would try to get us to accept that we were always in this material world and now we're getting a chance to go to the spiritual world. But no, that's not what Prabhupada is saying. We're in the spiritual world. And even if you look at it from the viewpoint of devastation, at some point in time, the entire material world is wound up into the body of Mahavishnu. There's no material existence. Living entities originally come from the spiritual world, and now we're being given a chance by this bhakti yoga process to go back to home, back to Godhead. And tonight, and practically every day, we should be in this mode of giving others the opportunity to go back to home, back to Godhead. If we take it seriously ourselves, then we automatically want to give it to others. You don't have to be induced to give. If you take it seriously, you automatically want to give others the opportunity. Because we realize that I have been here in this material world for so long as aquatic, as insect, as animal, as demigod, as tree, suffering like anything. Now, by the grace of my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, I've been given the opportunity to go back to home, back to Godhead. So naturally, if I take it seriously, I automatically want to give others that opportunity. Automatically. Nobody has to induce me. We automatically. And that's why we have a society. Society means that we're all working together for this goal of giving everybody the chance to become eligible to return home back to Godhead. And we have different roles to play in that society. Some are very much on the front lines mentality. They want to go out every day and meet people face to face and give them that book. Others are more in a cultivational mentality, just like we have Angira Muni Prabhu visiting here. Who's stressing the Bhakti Viksha and very successful at doing that, which means cultivating. Not necessarily that you have to be the one to go out on the front lines and bring them, but when they come in, then they need to be educated. They need to be cultivated nicely. That's what Bhakti Viksha is all about. We may not have formal Bhakti Viksha here, but still this is our mood. Go out and snatch them, Bhrigu and company, they're very much into that. Grab them, and then when they come here, somebody has to cultivate them. Introduce them gradually to all the Vaishnava principles and Vaishnava etiquette and how to associate nicely with Vaishnavas. Because if we don't associate nicely with Vaishnavas, then everything becomes stunted. Everything becomes stunted. No matter how high we may rise in the spiritual pantheon, we may become even guru. If we don't associate nicely with Vaishnavas, inevitably fall will be there. So we'll wind up on that note, how to meditate on that point, to associate nicely with each other, understanding I'm not this body, I'm spiritual soul, you're not that body, you're a spirit soul also. And as the Ishapanishad says, if we have this mentality, for one who sees all living beings as spiritual sparks in quality, one with the Lord, for that person, there's no lamentation and there's no illusion. Tataka mahaka soka. There's no lamentation, no illusion for such a person. So if we don't have that vision, just the opposite, if we find that we're seeing everybody as being my enemy or potential enemy or did this and did that and simply harping on that. I've said this before and I'm going to say it again because it's amazing to me that some of my God brothers, God sisters, they harp on things that happened 30 years ago. Get over it. Please, get over it. You have to. Otherwise, you're stunting your own growth. If you remember something that somebody did to you in the ashram 30 years ago, Hare Krishna. So we have to do that. We have to do that. As Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis, we have to let go. Prabhupada stressed that. Whatever happened, somebody came to Prabhupada once and said, you know, Prabhupada, this is, I'm separate. We may forget about that, Prabhupada said. Forget about what happened. And he didn't want to go over the details of what somebody did and what happened. He said, we may forget about what happened. Doesn't mean that we should not remember our own faults. It is suggested that as Vaishnavas, before you take rest, go over everything you've done in the daytime. Everything that you did, all your service, all your interactions with the public, with each other, and find out for yourself what you did wrong and try to correct it the next day. If it means going to apologize to somebody or beg for forgiveness, do that. But for ourselves, we should be that strict. But when you're dealing with other people, whatever they throw at you should be like water on a duck's back. Just let it fall off. Because again, we're not this body. We're not this body. So if somebody calls you an idiot, yes, I'm an idiot. I'm still here in the material world. We take it like that. We don't hold on to insults and ups and downs of this material world because it's all temporary. It'll be gone here today, gone tomorrow. We concentrate on purification, first of all, our own purification. And then to the degree that we take our own purification seriously, to that degree we can affect and help others. So we're going to stop here, leave some time for questions because they're going to start sandblasting in about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And we want everybody to leave the temple before that. I think Bhrigupati had his hand up first.
Thank you, Prabhu. Nice class.
Hare Krishna.
You were quoting from the Gita Mahatmya. And the author of that, I believe, is Sankaracharya. And Lord Chaitanya said, Sankaracharya is also the author of the Saririka Bhasya. And Lord Chaitanya said, anybody who reads that, they can never become a devotee. They're doomed.
Nice. Yeah.
So
yeah.
How is it that Sankaracharya is glorifying the Gita and Krishna? Is he really? I mean, I know he's really a devotee in the sense that he's Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee. But in his incarnation of Sankaracharya, is he actually being a devotee there? Is he actually like a closet devotee, or is he just doing this glorification in the Gita Mahatmya in the classical Mayavadi conception, which is that, you know, you can glorify the demigods and even Krishna, but ultimately the Brahman is above all that.
His presentation of Gita Mahatmya was from the viewpoint of being a devotee, not just some rhetoric, Mayavada rhetoric. Because before he left this world, he wanted to set the record straight. And that's why we have that song of his, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Mudamate. He's exhorting the Mayavadis, those who want to stick to that platform, he's exhorting them to worship Govinda, you foolish person. So that's the proof that he wanted to, before leaving this world, set the record straight as to what is actually the highest. Yes, during his majority of his career, he was promoting the Mayavad understanding. But before leaving this world, he wanted to set the record straight, and therefore he wrote the Gita Mahatmya and also other writings then. Okay? Who was next? I think Storm had his hand up next. 1 second. Storm had his hand up next.
Thank you so much for a nice class. Hare Krishna. I wrote... Oh, so you said just by chanting, or you were quoting, just by chanting Hare Krishna once, you burn up many sins than you can actually commit. But I was wondering, does this like come with stipulation? Does this mean like purely chanting or sincerely chanting? And also, what about the karma that was attached to the sins?
It says once only, and again, this is Yamaraj, Dharmaraj. He knows Dharma. He's speaking to the Yamadutas because they came back confused. That why couldn't we take this Ajamil? Why did the Vishnudutas allow to take that soul? He was sinful his whole life. Obviously, it was meant for you. So Yamaraj was explaining about that because he chanted only once, Narayana. And there's debate whether he was actually chanting purely or not. He was calling his son. So he wasn't actually thinking of the actual Narayan. But because he chanted the name Narayana, he became purified. But the problem is that once we, just like we're chanting Hare Krishna every day, but because we don't stick to the pure path, then again we contaminate and then we have to be cleansed. again, we become contaminated. Our consciousness becomes contaminated. Even though the karma has been taken, just like when you get initiated, that's another point. When you get initiated, and Prabhupada stressed that, the guru takes your karma. But then you have to stay clean. Just follow the principles, chant the prescribed amount of rounds, do whatever practical service you're given like that, and then you remain uncontaminated. But unfortunately, sometimes that doesn't happen. There's fall downs, and therefore. So the purification happens from chanting, but then we again contaminate the consciousness voluntarily. And therefore we don't feel the purified state. We don't feel purified because our consciousness, which is the subtle body, mind, intelligence, ego is still contaminated, false ego is still contaminated, and therefore we hold on to material desires. Wait. I think one of the ladies had her hand up. We need to give the ladies a chance. Did you have your hand up, Karuna? Yeah.
It seems that the purport said the Maha Mantra is Hare Krishna Mantra, but it also said that Omkar is a Maha Mantra. So I sometimes wonder, did Prabhupada ever stress the chanting of the Omkar at all?
I remember one class he gave where he said he was making fun of the Mayavadis that they won't chant Hare Krishna. They love to chant. He said some of them are very fond of chanting Om, but he said, "You rascal, you don't realize that Om is also Krishna." Yeah, so it's Krishna. This Pranava Omkara is Krishna, but it's Krishna in a covered way, you could say. They don't realize that they're actually worshiping Krishna that way. So we are directly trying to connect to Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. I see there's more questions, but I think we need to take it outside because, again, they're going to start blasting. So Naikadma asked me to wrap it up so we could all get out of here before the noise starts. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.
His Grace Arsida Prabhu Ki Jai.
Halloween Harinam.
It doesn't matter.